You would turn in your Bible this morning to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, we're going to look at one verse, verse 12 of Psalm 90. We're looking at this morning, taking note of our time, taking note of our days. Psalm 90. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. This Psalm 90 is talking about how God is eternal and yet man is so frail. Man is like the grass that springs up in the morning and then is cut in the afternoon and is dried and withered by the end of the day. And life is like a vapor, the book of James says in the New Testament. So with this thought, Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, so that we can gain a heart of wisdom." Let's pray. So Lord, we do ask this. Lord, we ask that You'll help us to be wise with our time. Help us, Lord God, to be wise with the days that we have. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. So Lord, today, help us to be a witness for You. Today, Lord, help us to take note of what we have, and it all comes from You. We give You praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. It has been said that our days or our lives are like identical suitcases. Every one of us has a suitcase, and each suitcase is identical to each other. And yet, some pack more into their suitcase than others. Life. Everyone gets 24 hours, and that's all we have each day. You cannot buy more time for the day. You cannot gain more time in each day. We, everyone, have 24 hours to a day. And we need to realize that time is marching on and it will not stop until we are all in eternity. Time marches on. So we need to gain a heart of wisdom. Gaining a heart of wisdom. Wise people know that time is their most precious commodity. We live in a time today. We live in a season as Americans that we are seeing warning judgments of God upon our nation. That's the time in which we are living in. Did you know that America elected the president that shows what America is today? That's what has happened. And by the way, our president has stated that the month of June, for now on, is a time of celebration of gay, lesbian, transgender, all those names, transgender and trans whatevers. Pride Month. So you and I as American citizens ought to celebrate the diversity of America, according to the president that America has elected. Aren't you proud of our leader? Folks, we live in a time that, yes, the Bible says to pray for our leaders, and we need to pray for our nation's leaders. But as long as God's people play around with their time, we're going to have what we have. And we live in a time where we see the warning judgments. God is warning America to turn back to Him. Oh, how we ought to gain a heart of wisdom in the time in which we live. But what is time? To quote a phrase from the tribe of Dan Acheson. What is time to a hog? That's from the tribe of Dan Acheson. And we look about ourselves. That's what America is today. We have it so easy, folks. We're so blessed. But yet we're right here. We're teetering $14 trillion in debt. Are we in three wars now? Floods, tornadoes in the Bible Belt. Here we are, teetering. And we're playing around with what God has blessed us with. It's like hitting the snooze button. A couple of Saturdays ago, my dear loving wife, after living a year and a half where we live now, had me out there cleaning out our shed. And we were cleaning out those boxes. And we came across some things, and one of them was an alarm clock. And I said, one of our children, we need to save this. One of our children can use this alarm clock. Diana can use it in college. Then she looked at me like I was crazy, and it dawned on me. That alarm clock is out of date. No one uses alarm clocks anymore. You know why? Cell phones have taken their place. So that alarm clock, and our old alarm clock, I can hit the snooze button in my sleep. Now I'm using my cell phone, and it's plugged in across the bedroom, and I have to get up out of bed to hit the snooze button and get back in bed. I know I'm the only one that does that, right? Closer to the bed. Hitting the snooze button is what we're doing. We wake up just enough, a little bit, that a lot of times we don't like what we see, so it's a lot easier for us to just hit the snooze button and ignore what's happening. It's easy, isn't it? It's a lot easier to go play around instead of coming to the house of worship. It's a lot easier to hit the snooze button over and over and over again, and our love is growing cold towards the Lord. Our love grows cold in those idols, our love for the idols that take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that takes the place of Jesus in your life is an idol. And the love of our idols, we're growing more in love with them, and we're just hitting the snooze button and ignoring what's happening. It's an honor being in the presence of the elderly in our congregation. And yet, I stand here looking at the faces of our children, and I weep inside for them, because they don't see what the church ought to be. They've never really seen what the church should be. I don't care if your grandchildren go to a church with 3,000 members. The church is not what the church should be in America. I feel sorry for them. And I'm fearful for what's happening. Oh, help us, Lord God, to gain a heart of wisdom in these days. Help us to number our days. So gaining or receiving a heart of wisdom. Gaining or receiving a heart of wisdom. A desire for a heart of wisdom when it comes to our time. What can we do? Number one, we can redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5, one of those chapters in the Bible that is so valuable that we go to it time and time again because it's a chapter on the family, it's a chapter on marriage, and yet it's a chapter about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And in Ephesians chapter 5, please turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible reads, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That's what we want to be. Gaining a heart of wisdom. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Buying back the time. Being very aware of the time in which we live and being wise with our time because the days are evil, it says. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So redeeming the time, it's seeking God's will in your life. A lot of times we have plans, but the best plan is God's will in our life. God's will. We're not seeing men and men going into the ministry like men used to. Why? Because they have been taught that what you want to do is what you ought to do. Instead of praying and seeking God's will for their lives, we're hitting the snooze button. Hitting the snooze button. But redeeming the time. We cannot add time, but we can make time count for something. And to make time count for something is to be in the will of God and to seek guidance from His Holy Spirit and asking God to place that authority in our lives, His precious Word, and being filled with His Spirit. Being sensitive to what He wants. That's being wise. When you yield yourself to God the Holy Spirit as a born-again believer, then you're wise. You're wise. Redeeming the time. And in this same chapter, it mentions the family. And when I think of my family, and this beginning of this chapter about walking in the light and not in darkness and not even have fellowship with the darkness and redeeming the time and being filled with the Spirit. Then it says, submitting yourselves to one another and love, and husbands, love your wives. And wives, reverence your husband. And when I think of time, I think of my investment to my wife. I've invested lots of years to her. And she's about got me the way she wants me. I hear the men giggling about that. Too much invested. Redeeming the time. redeeming the time. Galatians chapter 6. Just turn left from Ephesians and you're there in Galatians. This is a very basic principle in the Scripture. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So this is a principle, and it's about sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh. And if we waste our time on the things of the flesh and put the things of the flesh before God, then we are going to reap what we sow. You will reap as an individual if you sow to the flesh instead of sowing to the Spirit. In your family, if you're raising your children to run after the idols that come before you and the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see that you will reap in your children and grandchildren what you have sowed. It's a principle. It's a principle in life. So redeeming the time, sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the things of the flesh, it is okay to have a good time. It's okay. God made us to live and to enjoy life. But when those things come before you in your worship of Jesus and come before you in your witness for Jesus and come before you in your service to Jesus, it is an idol. And you will reap what you have sowed. When you give your time to it, you'll reap corruption. The message of the New Testament in the apostles when they preach sermons and in the letters of Paul, every message was, we will be held accountable for what we do. You will be held accountable for what you have done with your time. Wasting time. In our financial study, one of the things that has really stuck to me is one of the reasons why it's so important to have a budget all the way down to the last red cent is because Dave Ramsey describes it that if you do not keep up with what you are spending daily, he calls it the ants. The ants will nibble away at your money and take it all away, and then you don't realize where it went. And the ants carry your money away if you don't have a budget. When it comes to our spiritual lives, it becomes cow ants. Y'all know what a big cow ant is? They're huge. And those cow ants come along and they start nibbling our time. And then years pass and we're not serving the Lord. Years pass and we're not loving the Lord. Years pass and you ought to be a deacon, but you don't even come to church. You ought to be a teacher, and yet you still have to be taught. And years go by, wasted, wasted. The ants take him away. But God promises restoration with repentance. Amen? Isn't that good news? Joel chapter 2. I won't wait for you to turn there. I have mine marked. Okay? Maybe it'll be on the screen. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God promises, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten." You see, sometimes we're swarmed with things. Things to do, places to go. We got to do over this. We got to go do that. And your post is empty. And we're swarmed with locusts. Locusts has eaten. The crawling locusts. The consuming locusts. And the chewing locusts. They're relentless. The things that are grabbing, those idols that are tugging on your heart to take away your time of service and love to Jesus. It's a constant, constant battle. It's like one of those horse flies that are flying around this time of the year, and they hit you real quick, and then you flinch, and you're ready to slap the thing, and the thing flies away, and you got to stand there like this. Where is he going to land next? Most time they land right here on my bald spot. I already know where they're going to go. Pow! They hit you like that, and it takes your time swarming around, drinking what's left of your time. Verse 26. The end of verse 25 is my great army which I sent among you. But verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. In the great big context of this minor prophet book, it is in the context of repentance. A turning of the heart and mind back to God. Repentance. The good news this morning is God can fix the broken relationships. You let a relationship stay broke and it goes on and on and on. God can fix the mess ups. God can fix the heart of bitterness. God can fix those crooked paths that you have set for yourself. But when you repent, God will straighten the path back. God can fix it. With a heart and mind of repentance, God can restore. Amen? In Matthew chapter 20, God in His amazing grace is merciful as the landowner of Matthew chapter 20. And this pertains to the things of salvation and entering into the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to read this parable of Jesus to you. Matthew 20 verse 1 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and Give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landlord. Now that doesn't happen that much, I know. But they actually complained because they all received the same. Verse 12, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. Everyone say, God is no respecter of persons. Brother Evans is a great... No, just say. Y'all was repeating. Good. All right, back to the Scriptures. You've made them equal with us. You have made them equal and we have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. Folks, this is the grace of God. This parable is about the mercy and grace of God. When it comes to salvation, an older man or woman can come forward this morning or right where they sit and receive Christ and come make it public. And you know what? They have the same salvation as an older person who has taught Sunday school or served on all the committees or changed the diapers in the nursery or did this and did that for 50 years. It is the same salvation by the grace of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot work for it. It is a denarius by the grace of God that we all receive. And everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here recently, a man came to my house early one morning and he said, I just came from the doctor yesterday. He said, I have 9 months. 9 months. And he couldn't talk. And he has terminal cancer. That's in God's hands though, right? But this man, I said, well, I want to help you through this. And I want to minister to you if you'll allow me. And he said yes. And one thing I said, his wife was with him. God led me to say this. I said, sir, God is merciful to you at this time. And let me tell you why. You actually know around how much time you have. And you can get right with God by His grace. And you can be a great witness for Him in these last few months that you have. And I really believe this man, with God's help, is going to do this. Be a witness for Him. 9 months, around 9 months. See, we don't know what tomorrow holds. This almost sounds like a funeral message, doesn't it? But when it comes to the things of God, and for us to gain a heart of wisdom, we, everyone, need to realize we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Live for Him today. It's like in the light of His return, He could come back today. Every one of us ought to live as if He could come back today, because He could. Life, so short. But above all, get in His vineyard. Get in His vineyard. Because if you're working in some other vineyard besides salvation by grace through faith, then you are wasting your time that you have. Gain a heart of wisdom and be in Christ Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't waste your time. Whether you have just a few months or you got a whole life, if He tarries, get in the vineyard of the Lord's. And it's by His grace. You may be working hard in some other vineyard, but you know what? That's not for eternity. You may get a little pat on the back here, but unless you're in Jesus Christ, you're wasting time. Time is so precious. Amen. Oh, it's so precious. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. God, help us to gain a heart of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to take note of our days. We do thank You, Lord. This life is just for a little bit. The pain and the struggle and the agonies. For a little while. The sufferings doesn't compare to what lies in store for one of Your children. We give You praise. We thank You, Lord, for salvation. To everyone, it's available to everyone. And Lord, by Your grace, they can receive it and love You. God, may we see a miracle this morning. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.